What's up, guys? I'm Evan Turner, co-host of the Point Forward podcast, alongside Andre Iguodala. We got a special series out now, all about our favorite NBA cities, the greatest places to travel, the evolving cultures and cuisines, and some of our most memorable experiences while we were on the road during our many years in the NBA. We talk about Miami, Chicago, New York, and many more. Tune in to Courts and Culture, the Point Forward Travel Guide, sponsored by Hennessy. You can find it on Point Forward Feed on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Josh Muccio, and welcome to The Pitch from Gimlet Media. Well, we're almost there, folks. The end of another exciting year here at The Pitch. And amidst all the best of lists and end of year parties, we wanted to reflect a little bit on what 2018 looked like on the show. And we realized a ton of stuff happened in and out of the pitch room over the last year. We heard 32 entrepreneurs get up and pitch their startups, and 15 on-air investments ended with over $1.5 million in founders' pockets. But the real fun happens before any checks get cashed, when founders have to take a deep breath, walk up to the mic, and stare down a room full of venture capitalists. I wanted to ask those venture capitalists about the founders and startups they saw in the past year, about the deals they went in on, and the pitches that went south. So at our latest taping, I sat down with four of them, Jillian Manis, Phil Nadel, Michael Hyatt, and Charles Hudson, and we talked about all of it. Here's our conversation. To start it off, I brought some samples of one of the sweetest products on the show.
And it's like he's just wrong.
This is baby food?
Oh, no, that's Max from Petit Pot.
Petit Pot.
I see it everywhere, by the way.
It's French pudding.
Is it doing well? Did anybody invest in it?
No.
I'm still in touch with them.
It's a tough category.
Yeah. It's a very
it's
tough
a small
category.
Category.
It's lovely. That's about it.
So to kick
and
off
the chocolate is supposed to be fantastic.
Year in review episode.
Oh, it's the year in review.
We brought you guys some treats.
Right. Oh, my.
Do we know any follow-up how they've done?
He's done well.
Yeah.
He's doing very well.
I believe
talked to him
everything.
Recently.
It was our tastiest pitch.
Definitely the tastiest pitch. So what actually brings us in this room and why we brought the pudding in was because when we emailed you to ask about what your favorite pitches from 2018 were, you, Phil, said the one you regret not going in on was Petit Pot, the pudding company.
Right.
So being a pastry chef and working at a fancy restaurant, it was very easy for me to come up with the recipes. And then fast forward to today, I'm here to raise $2 million to take Petit Pot to the next level and to make sure every American gets to try those delicious desserts that I grew up eating.
So why do you feel like that's the one that got away?
Well, just to be clear, I don't feel like it's the one that got away, but I do think that he's going to have a great exit at some point soon. I think it's a very acquirable company, and I just really like Max. Mm-hmm. I think he's a very sharp guy, really knows his business, knows his product, has a clear vision for the company. So I was very, very impressed and still am with him. I stay in touch with him. And even though it didn't fit my thesis, my investment thesis, I was really tempted to jump in on it.
So you don't really regret not investing?
I don't regret it, no, but I do think that I will look back on it and, in a few years and see that he exited and made a good return for his investors.
Michael, Jillian, Charles, any pitches you heard on the show that you now regret not investing in?
I liked Blake Seedless.
Seed-based, yeah.
Yeah, I liked that one. He and I just couldn't get aligned on corporate structure. So he's, I think, doing the right thing for himself and keeping it as an LLC, and that's totally, I think, his prerogative. But I was bummed that we couldn't make that one work because I really was inspired by him when he was in the room and just his connection to the problem and the early progress he had.
And I think, to be fair to the investors too, it's what the audience should know is that the company that you see in this room, they're successful or not successful later on, isn't often the company that you see later on anyways. They may have pivoted everything. Early stage investing is incredibly difficult to get right for that reason, because you actually don't, the pivot is unknowing. It's unknowable. You just don't always quite know where they're going to go with the business.
If you have regret for deals that you pass on, you're not going to be a very effective investor because you're just going to drive yourself mad. There are so many deals that we look at and pass on. Inevitably, we're going to pass on some that end up being winners.
I think that's a great point. And I think if you can't name a couple of deals you've passed on that have made other investors money, you're lying or you're crazy or something's wrong with you, because you have to have... They'll say, hey, Mike, you didn't go on in this deal. You missed out money. I'm like, well, that's true that you've named a couple. But how about the 98 I said no to that made no money? So overall, I would have made no money. So you have to have winners in your portfolio that you never, or not in your portfolio that you just didn't invest in. You have to be saying no sometimes to the wrong things to actually make it in this business.
It's not something you can really spend time regretting about past mistakes.
The
only thing you can think
crazy.
About is what I can learn from it.
So investors don't get paid to be right. Investors get paid to be right most of the time.
Right.
So we were thinking about, as a team, we were thinking about what our favorite pitches were from the last year. And some of the ones that stood out the most for us were the underdog stories. So pitches like Cushion, where you, Jillian, passed. And then later on...
I'm going to take back my pass. I liked hearing about you. I liked hearing about your path. And usually that's the one question I ask. And that's usually the first question I ask. And sure. Shame on me for not.
Probably should have started with that.
Or Surf, where Sophia had a pretty rocky start in the pitch room.
The future of this content is happening already. And everything I just described is not something that I've just made up. It's happening today on our phones already. And it's only going to get better. So that leads me to what we're focusing on today. Okay, I totally messed up.
That's okay. Not a problem.
Okay.
You can start again if you want.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Can I just do something?
Yeah.
Start again. It's fine.
Or Bounce, where security concerns started to dominate the conversation.
The problem with terrorism, how can they verify what's in the
Snapchat? It does sound like a recipe for disaster.
It does. Drugs, guns. You know, and
that's
body
true.
Parts
Jillian went right there.
If I wanted to move drugs around the city, this would be an amazing
But each of these pitches ended up getting commitments in the room. Why do you think some founders are able to make a comeback?
I think, to be fair to the founders, some actually don't do the greatest job in the room. And if you actually hear us and we say, listen, we want to spend some more time with you, we really do. And once we actually, there's a calm setting and they have time to rethink everything and we do, we say, oh, it actually could be a pretty good business.
But all of these pitches got investments in the room. So they went from that precipitous moment when things fell apart to being able to get a commitment later on in the room, despite how things started.
Because, I mean, a great founder can still fumble a pitch and come back from it. And if he has, if he's honest about it and starts again and has a good story and a good business, then we're not going to hold a fumble against him.
What would you tell founders who early on in their pitch realize things are not going well? How do they make a comeback in the room?
I think there's a difference between fumbling a pitch and giving a bad pitch. Sometimes it's not going well because nothing you're saying is landing or connecting, and it's because the investors aren't buying your argument. I mean, I think what will ultimately be one of the most successful investments we made at my old fund, Uncork, is someone whose laptop died in the middle of her meeting with my partner. Like, it just died. Like, that's kind of an act of God. You can't do anything about that. I think that's really different from just being unclear in your delivery, being unconvincing. If you're reading the body language and people aren't getting it, I think as an entrepreneur, it's your duty to say, hey, it feels like this isn't working for you. Like, do you understand what's going on? And we're not connecting. But to plow on when you're not connecting with your audience, I think it's hard to recover from that.
Yeah, I think for sure. with Sophia, I gave her actually more credit because she restarted, because she realized she was not communicating with clarity. And so she started, she pulled back, she reset, and then she crushed it. She crushed it. And so I actually saw that as a character trait that I like to see in founders. But that took courage too, because we've also had a lot of founders here who fall apart and then continue down the slope, and they continue to like deteriorate right before our eyes. And we think, oh my God, get it together, get it together, man. But they never do.
Totally. After a quick break, we find out there's still one more wrinkle in the story for one of this year's founders.
Beloved brands know customer relationships are everything. That's why over 130,000 trust Klaviyo to power smarter digital relationships across their websites, emails, SMS, and reviews. And now, there's Klaviyo AI, your guide to smarter insights, decisions, work, and results. Brands like Everyman Jack trust Klaviyo AI to personalize product recommendations that keep customers coming back. Discover Klaviyo AI at klaviyo.com/Vox. That's klaviyo.com/Vox.
Jury selection continues this week in a Manhattan courtroom where former President Donald Trump is on trial for falsifying business records. Prospective jurors were asked 42 questions aimed at determining whether they can be fair and impartial, such as, can you be fair and impartial? Have you ever been a Boogaloo boy or in Antifa? And what podcasts do you listen to? Trump's required to be present in the courtroom for this trial that could last until June. And he's been talking to reporters before he goes into the courtroom.
I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election.
Donald J. Trump in court this week on Today Explained, every weekday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Before the break, I asked the investors about the ones that got away and the founders who got off to rocky starts but came back big. Now we're going to shift the focus a little bit.
I wanted to ask you guys, which founder from this year most reminds you of yourself?
For me, I think it was Paul from Cushion.
I agree with you on that, Phil.
I don't know. There's just something about his drive, his ambition, but yet he was he seemed open to advice, and yet he had a vision for the business. So just. There was just something about him that reminded me of myself when I was younger. Humble but driven. Well said.
I think I'd have to say Stefan Lobel at Bluffworks. And, we didn't invest and we went through a lot there, but it's still my favorite pitch on the show for so many reasons. And I think if everybody could actually be a fly on the wall that listens to this show in that one, they'd have a hard time not choosing him as the most likable guy in the way they desperately wanted to invest in. He tries so hard. He's had his jaw cracked so many times and he keeps getting up and he believes in his company. And I think, a lot of his math doesn't work. A lot of things didn't work in that business that I could invest in. But the guy I like the most, the guy I want over for dinner the most, the guy that I really wish has a great business is him. And I think the audience would just love this guy as a person. You guys as a producer see that? I mean, you see everybody after the show.
He is pretty unabashedly, this is the best pitch I've ever heard.
Is it because it was the best pitch?
He was the quintessential guy you wanted over for dinner.
He's that underdog, like you were talking about, Josh, that you root for, and we invested in the company. He's doing well. He keeps fighting every day. And
you invested in Stefan?
Oh, yeah.
Charles, how about you?
It's tough. I try not to project my own self onto the founders or like try to make that match. But I'd say the person who I felt like reminded me the most of sort of myself was probably Blake. Just like there's no need to explain
what company
it.
Is that?
This is from the seed.
Blake Seed Base.
Okay.
Yeah, Blake is a great guy.
I just liked him because occasionally I meet these founders where there's not a lot of puffery there's not a lot of pomp and circumstance. It's just, I'm doing this thing that seems patently obvious to me. And I was really struck just by him as a person and the fact that he's not one of these people who I didn't get the impression that he's like, I want to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to sit around and go through 1,000 ideas and, spreadsheet after spreadsheet and knock things. I was like, he's building something that strikes him as like needing to exist in the world in a very authentic and honest way.
Because he's solving a problem that he's experiencing. Right. Yeah. That's why.
How does that relate to you, Charles?
I don't know. I started my own venture fund for sort of the same reason. I was like, well, there's obviously this thing I think that needs to exist. And I don't know what it was about his delivery or his style. It just felt like very authentic to me.
Mm. Absolutely authentic, yeah.
Jillian?
Courtney Caldwell from ShareShare. I was so struck by this woman, and I think that it's because personally I connected to her. She just, she told her story. She had incredible confidence and a grasp of the numbers, a grasp of the product and the vision. Whatever came at her, she responded with composure, and I really like that about her. Their product is something that was very much who she is, and the fact that she has this relationship with her husband for 20 years, that really just spoke volumes to me on how she cared about family. Which I do believe is very much how I assess the person, not just the product.
And how does that remind you of yourself?
I care about my family. You know, I care that I want the people around me, and I want them to know that I listen to them.
All right. So the last thing I want to ask you about is your favorite pitches from this year. I want to start with you, Phil. What was your favorite pitch from 2018?
I have to say, my favorite pitch was Boundless. Xiao did a great job. He lived the problem that he was solving, which was the immigration problem, how difficult it is to get immigration paperwork completed and filed. He was just authentic, smart, prepared.
But that one was actually rather controversial.
Yes.
If you'll remember.
In America, we're getting caught up in the immigration thing, getting caught in the passion, but I'm not getting caught up in that emotion. Yeah, what I'm getting caught up in is I want to know listen.
But he did.
And this is a service business. This is not a SaaS company. Is legit.
Today.
Today.
And you're investing in.
Did you hear AI? Did you hear blockchain? Did you hear things that are going to make this more efficient?
No, but that's not the point. We have a big problem.
Hot take, Michael.
You know, that was funny because that was my very, very first pitch ever. And I came in here and I think I set the panel on fire, and they're like, I think you can leave now. And that's the day Jillian decided to like me. It's only gotten better. I have a huge amount of respect for Phil and his investing acumen. I'm sure it is going well. Like, I didn't see it. But that's the point of having a panel, having different views and different investing. I mean, and maybe I am wrong. Yeah. I don't know. But that was really fun. I think a lot of it lit the show up a little bit.
I respect for you, Michael, because you did raise good issues.
Yes, you did.
There's no doubt you did. He's addressing those, I think, in a smart, thoughtful way. But you did raise some really good questions at the time. And, you know, I just give Xiao credit for addressing them and staying the course.
Michael, any pitches that stand out to you?
Well, look, I've already mentioned a few like Stefan, but you know the other one I wish that could have worked out, and I think Phil agrees with me. I think I wish Shipsy worked out.
Yes.
Because, and maybe Jillian too, like Shipsy was, I love the founder. I think it was Chelsea, was it?
Yes. Yeah, it did work out for
that
Charles.
That was my favorite. That was my favorite one.
For me it didn't, because I couldn't get my arms around the math and what they were doing, and then Amazon coming in and doing their stuff. And honestly, I didn't take a deep enough dive. I was on the real edge of investing in that. I really like the founder. I love the idea of a $9 one-hour shipment. But that's another one that I'm happy to look at on the next round, because I think you got a great founder and a great business. So it was one of my favorite pitches for sure.
Yeah, that one was pretty incredible. So... Bluffworks, you mentioned earlier that was one of your favorite pitches.
Yeah.
That was actually Jillian's favorite too. Let's hear a clip from that.
So last year we had three products. We had two pairs of pants and a blazer.
Okay.
And we added this dress shirt and another pair of pants late in the year.
And what's the innovation? They don't wrinkle or?
They don't wrinkle.
Okay.
So a lot happened after that pitch. Jillian, Stefan sent you a few blazers.
He sent two to me and one to my father.
And they were wrinkled. But by the time the episode went out, you had not invested.
Right.
So why is that your favorite pitch?
So we kept in touch quite a bit, and he started to show me that he had the chops in order to figure out the problem. And he was looking at the way that these were being folded and boxed in terms of the wrinkle.
Yeah, but getting piled up at the the warehouse, getting wrinkled before they were sent to customers. This big problem.
Yes.
You just happened to be on the other end of
that one. And so then he sent again. And also I sent them to my sons and they started wearing them. And one's at college and it got all crumpled and, you know, in a corner. And then he was able to shake it out and pop it on. So there was definitely some value there.
But still you didn't invest.
So I didn't invest.
Until we're at Gimlet Fest.
Yes.
Last June, I believe it was.
Yes.
And I remember sitting in the hall backstage.
Yes.
Before you and Michael went on stage.
Yes.
He was the coach.
He was coaching the other founders on their pitch.
Yes.
For obvious reasons. The guy can
He was
pitch.
Crushing it. He was so smart.
And we're chatting. And I was like, have you heard the Bluffworks pitch? Because it had just been published at that time. You said, oh, no, I haven't heard that episode yet. I said, you've got to go listen to this guy's story, particularly what happened after the pitch and his whole story and background. And you're like, oh, no, I'll go check it out. And then, of course, you text me a couple hours later. We had just finished doing the Gimlet Fest live show. And you said, I've now listened to Bluffworks multiple times. Excellent. And I just told Stefan that I'm going to invest.
I invested $100K. In the end, I felt that whatever problem with the product, he was going to be able to fix. My grandfather always said, if you could sell a fuller brush, you can sell anything. Because in the end, you're selling yourself first.
Well, that's just it. It's not about the fact that the jacket doesn't wrinkle. He's building a brand.
Yes.
And he could sell anything.
And the brand is
around. You could invest in Stefan. He could be selling
the Tupperware. He could be selling Avon makeup.
Vacuums door to door.
He was so good.
Pots and pans.
Pots and pans. Whatever that guy has to sell, you know he's going to sell it to you.
It's awesome. All right. So, you guys ready to hear some more pitches?
Let's go.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go.
Let's do it.
Let's rock.
You'll find a full list of the pitches we talked about in today's episode in the episode notes. Thanks to each of our investors who gave us a peek behind the curtain, and a special thanks to you, all of our amazing listeners. It's been a banner year. We'll be back in January to kick off 2019. Our show is produced by me, Josh Muccio, Molly Donahue, and Kareem Maddox. We are edited by Blythe Terrell. We're mixed by Enoch Kim, original music composed by The Musemaker. Our theme music is by Breakmaster Cylinder. You've been listening to The Pitch from Gimlet Media. We're taking a little break for the holidays so we can all spend some time with our families, but we'll be back with another episode January 9th. And one other thing, I wanted to give you a quick heads up about something we think the parents listening might like. It's another Gimlet show called Chompers. You might have already heard about Chompers. It's a show that you play for 2 minutes to help your kids brush their teeth. And this week on Chompers, it's Inventors Week. It's all about inventors and entrepreneurs and inspiring kids to get out there and make stuff of their own. Take a listen. Chompers might make tooth time a little bit easier for your family. You can find Chompers on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen.